Welcome to How to Decorate from Ballard Designs, a podcast all about the trials and triumphs of decorating and redecorating your home. Each week, we'll help you unleash your inner decorator. I'm Caroline, and I'm on the marketing team.
And I'm Taryn, and I'm a product designer.
And I'm Liz. I head up the Ballard creative team.
We're your host.
Join the expert team at Ballard Designs for tips, tricks, and tales from interior designers, stylists, and other talents in the design world.
Plus, we'll answer a listener question at the end of each show.
So don't forget to send them to podcast at ballarddesigns.net.
Yes, we love answering them.
Now, on with the show.
Okay, so I am very excited about today's episode because this is a topic I'm very passionate about, as you've probably gathered over the years. But we have our in-house bedding and bath expert here today. Her name is Amy Jordan. She's been at Ballard for 9 years, and she is our bedding and bath and soft goods, but for the purposes of this podcast, she's our bedding expert. So she with Taryn's team, they design all of the product. They figure out like, what are we missing? What do we need? She knows everything about thread counts and materials and mixing and matching. She also designs all of those gorgeous beds in the catalog that have quilts and duvets and shams, and they're all perfectly mixed and matched. She picks them all out. And so she knows what goes together, what makes the perfect mix. And so we're going to get into everything bedding and bath today. If you're trying to create the perfect little nest for your guest room or your primary bedroom, we have all the answers for you today. So, Amy, thank you for joining
us. That was so nice. I feel so good about myself right now.
You also have two. Okay. I do also think that at some point, probably towards the end of the show, we should talk about kids' beds. Because I do feel like that is a whole other world, and you have two kids, mm-hmm. two little girls, so you might we can kick that around too. Yeah. I think we should start with materials. You're picking out your bedding for your bed.
The technical.
Like, how do you, what? Yeah. I want to talk about the intersection of like how you want it to feel when you're sleeping and how you want to bed your bed to look. Because I do feel like sometimes, as we were talking mm-hmm. about before the show started, sometimes those things intersect. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
And how do you balance that?
Yeah. So I feel like everybody's dream is to have your bedding look like what you've seen in a catalog or what you saw in some shelter magazine or something like that. And it's tricky because if you're like me, I sleep like 1,000 degrees hot. So I can't have a sheet, a coverlet, a duvet cover, and a quilt and sleep with all of it and survive tonight. So I think figuring out how you're going to make your bed look pretty while it having it function to whatever your needs are is tricky. So either you make it how you want it to look and then you take half that stuff off every night when you're going to sleep, or you can make your guest room look fabulous and just put your guests through the ringer when they come stay with you.
Just turn your AC way down.
Yeah. I mean, there's differences in materials that some are more breathable and some are a little warmer, and you can make those selections as well. And thinking of duvet inserts, and they make all different kinds of duvet inserts now that are lightweight or heavyweight or fluffy or not as fluffy. So there are some options, but to an extent, I feel like if you're going for a look, you're going to have to figure out a way to deal with either taking it off or sleeping through the heat.
Okay, then what are like the main bedding materials, like for sheets and the bed linens?
Yeah.
And then we can get into like inserts and pillows and those type of materials later. But let's start with what are the big ones that you need to know, and what are the, like the qualities about them that will help you understand what to buy?
So I think for our customer, what we've seen, what sells best at Ballard is percale. So percale is a cotton. It's a 1/1 weave. So meaning there's one thread that goes over the warp and one that goes over the weft. And I talk to that because that essentially just means it's more breathable. So percale tends to be crisp. Like people always make the comparison that it's your crisp white button-up shirt. It sleeps cooler. It can wrinkle a little bit, but I think sheets have come a long way. They have finishes now and they go through washing processes that can help reduce the wrinkling. But it does tend to wrinkle more than some of the other fabrications. And it doesn't really have a sheen to it. It's fairly flat. And then sateen is the other pretty widely known one. So sateen tends to have a little more of a sheen to it. And the reason that is it's three yarns woven over every opposite yarn. And that gives it that shine. It also makes it warmer because it's a really tight weave. So sateen sheets tend to sleep a little hotter, though they are super smooth. I kind of think sateen has a little bit more of a formal look just because it does have that sheen to it. But that's another one where I feel like now there's a lot of different washes that they can do to a sheet. We've got a sheet set at Ballard that is a sateen, but it's been through this wash and it gives it this really, it makes the sheen a little subtle. So it doesn't have that look as much. And then linen, of course. Linen also is super breathable. It's a little more eco-friendly, more sustainable in its production, which is always nice. And it's actually really strong. So your linen sheets are typically going to last longer than some of your cotton sheets are going to last. But I do think the trick to linen is knowing that it's not always going to feel soft as soon as you get it. You have to wash it and it just feels better like the more you wash it. But linen for sure is
interesting.
Breathable.
I am surprised to find that it lasts longer because I feel like linen as an upholstery material has the lowest lifespan, but I guess it's just within
upholstery. I do feel like it's for upholstery, you could see that the deconstruction or the softening of the linen probably doesn't lend itself to a sofa. Whereas with your bedding, you're wanting it to get softer and to break down that stiffness
a little
bit. And
aren't you drying your bedding per se too?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do have to talk about care.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, I guess on your upholstery, you might be like, again, wear and then, maybe you're washing a little part of it that got a stain or something.
Washing.
And you're not getting... I was just thinking with my linen bedding, and I just have the Ballard duvet and shams, and it's definitely become even softer for sure, but I dry it. It's tight, where I feel like on my upholstery, my linen has opened, to your point, and got saggy. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know if that's how you're supposed to care about it, so please fix me there too.
I care the same way. I'm all for ease, and I do feel like half the time I'm breaking the rules on how they say to take care of it. I'm testing my way into it. Let me just see what happens if I wash it one time, because I'd rather not dry clean it. But so I feel like those are the three like most common materials. I think you're seeing some bamboo.
For
sheeting. Some bamboo coming about now. It seems to be a little bit more popular of a material. And I think that tends to have the feel of sateen. Like it has a little bit of silkiness to the feel, but it looks a little more casual to me than sateen does. And then, of course, you have silk sheets and things like that. But I feel like those aren't as practical and not common for that reason.
What about the care of those three? Like we talked about linen and percale being a little bit wrinkly. Mm-hmm. How is the care methods of the three of those different?
I think they're fairly similar. I think I'm not as big of an expert on this, I feel like. But I do feel like linen, you're supposed to be careful with bleach that you can really damage the fiber if you're bleaching it. Which for me, I love white bedding because I have a dog and I have kids and you can just bleach everything out of it. So that I think if you do bleach, it's possible it's just going to break down faster. You'll get holes in it eventually, but it might be worth it.
But you're talking about actual bleach. Like OxyClean doesn't really count as bleach, does it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you feel like OxyClean works better? I'm torn on this.
Oh, I love OxyClean. Dude, if we get cancer, it's because of
The tricks. I need to
but it works. I think it works.
One of the cleaning experts and find out all these tricks for getting stains out.
Yeah, we do need. That's a good idea. We should have a cleaning expert.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Next time.
Yeah.
Okay. What about? Okay, those are sheeting materials, but I feel like there's a little bit more variety in terms of your coverlets, your comforters, the duvet.
Yeah, I feel like those are still mostly what you're going to see for duvet. I feel like duvet covers match back to the sheeting materials for the most part. Ours do, especially, but I do think coverlets and quilts, you then get into some different materials. So coverlets, I think most of ours are probably cotton, woven cottons. You may have some linen coverlets. I feel like that's definitely a trend right now, is having a linen bedspread or coverlet that drifts or floats all the way down to the floor. So we're starting to see that. But for the most part, it's cotton or linen, I think, for coverlets. And then for quilts, they tend to be thinner fabrics because you have that fill. So you're not wanting a super thick fabric plus a fill plus a super thick fabric. It's going to be too hot. So I think a lot of quilts are out of lighter weight cottons or a linen cotton blend, some linens. I don't think you'll see as many sateens there. It'd be pretty hot. And then you can have different fills too for your quilts. They can be a cotton fill or they can be a poly fill. And those both have different properties, as far as how fluffy they are, how warm they are, how tightly you can quilt with them and things like
that. I have a question. Only because as you dive into this. So quilt has a fill. Duvet is where you put an insert. Mm-hmm. A coverlet. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between a mat lacé and a coverlet? Or is a mat lacé a coverlet? I don't know what it is.
Oh, gosh.
Please tell us.
I think a mat lacé can qualify as a coverlet, but it's a more specific construction. Whereas to me, a coverlet, I think you can get away with a lot of things being classified as a coverlet. Like the linen one that I'm talking about is essentially like
a blanket,
thicker, flat
right?
sheet. Yeah, it's like a blanket. I definitely think a coverlet can have fill. It just tends to be super thin.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think in general, a coverlet's going to be a lot lighter in weight than a quilt.
And physically thinner. Okay.
And it's interesting you mentioned the quilt having a fill, because I guess I always think of a quilt as just being like
a flat.
I think of quilting things together. I didn't realize that. Obviously, I knew there was a fill because I have quilts, and there's a layer in between. Like, it's three layers, yeah. Right? There's like the thin, soft, and then there's like the fill of it. I always think of it as being like things being quilted.
I guess there are quilts that would not have fill. Like a Kantha quilt from India is typically saris woven together, and they may have some other material, but they're thin. So mm-hmm. Wouldn't even be a material. I think it's fabric that they weave in between those. Mm. And so it tends to be really thin, but it's not, doesn't have a cotton or a poly.
Okay, let's talk about layering your bed. Okay, where do you start? What do you think of as the bare bones of what you need? And then maybe we can go from there in terms of making it like, let's get all the way to a full-on catalog bed with a million layers, probably impractical to sleep with, but it looks beautiful.
Yeah. I think, of course, the bare minimum would be sheets, a sheet set, a duvet cover, or a quilt, or a coverlet. If you go with, I think it's easier to get a good-looking, more professional-looking bed if you're using a duvet that has the volume to it, and it gives your bed this like lofty, dreamy look to it. I think it's harder to make your bed look beautiful when you're working with really thin layers. It's possible for sure, but I do feel like that's a harder look to achieve without just mm-hmm. the most perfectly designed bedding for your bed. It's all the right length, et cetera, et cetera. So I generally will do sheets, a duvet cover, and then layer from there. Typically your duvet cover, you're going to buy at least one set of shams that kind of coordinates, or it doesn't have to coordinate, but a set of shams that's not pillowcase. But we can get into pillow arrangements later too, because I think sometimes people mm-hmm. will just do sheets, a couple of stacked pillowcases, and call it a day, and then just have a top of bed duvet cover or coverlet or quilt. But yeah, generally I think you'll see that people want to match their shams to whatever's more at the foot of the bed.
Okay, so you got your sheets, you have a duvet cover and matching shams. Yeah. Got it. What's next?
That's the bare minimum. Then I would say you could either do a coverlet under the duvet cover. And really, to style that, I would typically pull the duvet cover down, fold it down so it's on half of the bed, or you could fold it down just some to show a peak of that coverlet at the top. But you're adding a coverlet not just for comfort, but to have maybe a contrast color or just something to break up the whole duvet. Because I tend to think if you've got a bed that only has one duvet on it, it's just this big blob that's really distracting in the room. It's nice to have it broken up and that color mm-hmm. broken up. So I think that's one option. Or of course, a lot of people like to drape things more at the foot of the bed to have a quilt or something that's got some movement to it. So a quilt or a coverlet that's draped at the foot of the bed, if you'd rather have it there. And maybe that's easier for somebody that's doing it more for a look and not for warmth or function.
Okay. So I learned a term yesterday when we were looking at photography.
We did too.
The corner of whatever you have draped over the end, you have a quilt draped over the edge of the bed. It's called the bell.
Yeah, the bell of the bed.
Fold, like a fold that kind of makes an outer triangle over the corner. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But when you drape you drape the quilt over the edge of the foot of the bed, pull out the corners.
Like a triangle.
Yeah. And makes a triangle fold at the end. So that if you have corner detailing on your duvet or quilt, that you can see that. So like we have the Greek key bedding and we always like to show that like that corner detail there.
And like
that's how you.
So there's a certain way you have to make it in order to show that.
Okay. So you pop that corner out a bit.
And I feel like that's a way to show from a catalog when you're photographing bedding. It's so hard for us to show the way something feels. And so you want, if it's perfectly crisp in all the corners, you don't really get an idea of like how it drapes. And I feel like the bell of the bed helps show like how something drapes and mm-hmm. if it's thin or thick, and it's just a pretty moment.
Yeah, I think it does. It makes a pretty moment. Almost like when you are getting dressed and you have a beautiful skirt on or something like that, and you like floof it out and It's just, yeah, it's just really beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a nice touch.
I like that. Then you add like a coverlet or something. What should one think about when they're mixing materials? If you've done a percale sheet and duvet, like, do you need to add that texture of a quilt or like a waffle, or should you keep it?
No, I definitely think it's nice to add texture, something that really changes the look and breaks that like monotony of one duvet cover across the bed. I think textures are having a moment right now. We certainly have introduced a lot more textures, and the waffle is back. I think that went away for a while. So yeah, I definitely think it's, to your point, nice to introduce some texture. And that can also happen not necessarily through the way something is woven, but the way it's quilted. But if you're not adding texture, I think you can add pattern. If you've got a solid duvet cover, you can add some, just an accent of pattern if you didn't want something too loud for your room. It's a good spot to just have an accent of something without fully committing to that look for a bedroom.
I like what you said earlier about if you only have a duvet, it's just like a big blob. Yeah. I feel like if you look through bedding images, like just beautiful beds, it tends to be at least the bed is cut in half. Usually I would say it's cut in thirds. So like you have your sheets at the top, like close to the headboard with your pillows. And then you've got like your middle third. Sorry, I'm making gestures. You've got like your middle third, which is maybe like your quilted or your pattern or something. And then you have the fluffy duvet at the bottom third.
Yeah.
Because especially if you have a king, that's a lot of real estate. And if it's just one solid material, yeah, it looks weird. I don't know.
I think some of that depends on your room. If you've got a loud room where you have tons of art or wallpaper or something, then it may be great for you to have just something really simple and classic. But I'm sure most of us probably have a solid color on the wall and a piece of art here or there. So it's nice to have something on the bed, but it's a lot if it's all one pattern or one color. And I think that's another thing too, is maybe I think if you really looked at catalogs and shelter magazines and the way beds are styled, probably something that customers wouldn't immediately think was, I think customers tend to buy duvet cover, matching shams, throw it on the bed and think that's it, that you can be done there. But I think what really makes the bed feel special is when you are mixing and matching and breaking up that pattern. So that's really how we show things in our catalog. It's how we sell it. It's how we've created our whole bedding collection, is focusing in on colors that are consistent across different collections to pick a pattern that goes with this pattern and know that the colors are going to mix together, because it looks good on the bed to have a break in the eye. Like you said, the bed's split into thirds and it's nice to just not have all over pattern. It's a lot to have just everything be the same, but to each their own. I mean, sometimes that's also a look where you'll see drapery, wallpaper, bedding all in the same pattern.
How do I layer my pillows when you're talking about this? Because do I stack them? Do I put them in front of each other? Which way are my pillows supposed to go? I'm so confused.
There's no supposed to. I feel like there's a million options. We have thought about, could we put together some kind of simple cheat sheet for customers? If you have a queen, you can do two standard pillows in the back and you can have two Euros in the front and then some kind of throw pillow accent in front of that. Or you can do the Euros in the back and you can do your standard pillows in the front. I feel like king beds, I love to see three Euros all the way across the front. I feel like that's so clean looking and it has a real tailored look to it. But I think this, to your question, stacked pillows in the back, I feel like that tends to have a little more of a you tend to see that like on a more modern looking bed, a little less traditional.
Okay, here's my thought on those stacked pillows though. I feel like that only looks good if your pillows are like
fluffy,
brand new and fluffy.
Yeah, like,
you know what I mean?
Can't like, be like loose and sloppy looking.
I don't know. I just feel like my pillows, maybe they need a refresh, but they don't look great like that. I don't know. I feel like they only look like that in pictures. I like them standing up better. Anyway, sorry, continue.
But I feel like even like upright can be tricky sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes the flange is floppy.
Because I want mine to be super upright. Oh, yeah.
But that's where the Euro helps. The Euro helps them
stay upright.
Stay up, yeah.
It's like extra support.
Yeah, that's a good point. So get a fluffy pillow if you're going to do the stack pillow.
Okay. And then if I want to do, this is a personal choice, right? If I want to do three Euros versus two king shams on a king bed.
Yes, and I think you could do all of it. Your husband might hate you and think you're ridiculous, but
hey, You know what?
I've got my husband on board now with pillows.
Do you?
Yeah. It's like a whole, I have no idea. I kind of put too many on the bed at one point, and then we compromised and found a good place where we are right now. So we've got two kings, our standard pillows, and then a long lumbar, and then two little velvet lumbars that kind of...
That's a lot of pillows. So did you have more than that at some point?
I think we did. And I think that the lumbar was the one that made it all okay, mm-hmm. because it's just putting one.
And it can double as a body pillow, which is nice. Yeah. I love a long lumbar. I feel like it's such a clean, easy look for and finish. Mm-hmm. I think that really started as a designer custom product, you know, so it's got this elevated look that you used to only see in magazines and such. And now you can buy it elsewhere. It's nice.
But to your point, it has a functional.
Yeah.
Thing because it's just the one.
Or if it doesn't, it's just one pillow that you can remove, and it's not like eight throw pillows that you then have to toss off the bed.
Right. Yeah. Listen, it worked for me. It somehow turned his mind around, even though it was just one less pillow. It worked.
Great.
I was going to say, I wish the lumbar was part of the norm of bedding now, because I do love the really long lumbars and the way they look. So to your point, yes, they're more readily available, but I do wish they were part of that, like, where you're like, oh, and then I have to get the lumbar, because anyway, it just looks so good.
Like, you wish it was available in the same pattern as the bedding, or just you wish it was more readily available in everything?
In everything. That's what I meant. Just the general.
Yeah.
I want one on every bed.
I feel like it's getting there. Yep. Yeah.
See, I don't want my lumbar to match back to the bedding. I want the lumbar to be like
the accent.
Like mine is like a velvet, like a cut velvet designer fabric. Uh-huh. Because I often feel like your bedroom has less fabric vehicles than like your, and I guess I like more pattern mixing, but like your living room, you've got like a rug, your sofa, the chairs, the drapes, like the pillows, and there's less of that in the bedroom. And so I want to like get a cool, funky pattern or something in there. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. My lumbar is not, I feel like I'm in a very anti-matchy stage. I can really appreciate that look, but for my own house, I don't do it as much. I like a really layered pattern, lots of different patterns. Yeah. And Heidi Kaelier? I don't know if I'm saying her last name right. The way she makes a bed is like my dream bed.
What is everyone's dream bed designer? Yeah. That's a good one.
But a hard one.
You know who I love? Mm. Katie Ritter has great beds. She has a lot of color and a lot of pattern in her beds. Mm-hmm. So she like does
she has a formula though, right? Isn't hers?
She does have a formula.
Ooh, what's the formula?
She always uses a quilt. Yeah. She's really into quilts. So sometimes she'll mix two quilts. She definitely does like almost every bed, I feel like, has a quilt, sheets turned down. The sheets have a colored border that coordinates to the quilt. I think she does everything probably custom because she's amazing. But and same with the duvet. Like the duvet has an unusual embroidered trim that has, whether it's like a spicy orange that has an end. But yeah, it is very tailored. I was gonna say,
she tucks everything in, right? Where everything is under the mattress.
Yes.
And then she has a covered box spring and or skirt.
Yes. And she did mention on our podcast episode that she's really particular about the type of mattress that she gets them custom made for her clients, because she finds that mattresses are
too deep.
Thick? Yeah, they're too deep and they look weird.
What's the standard depth of a mattress should be for our bedding?
There is no standard depth. Our sheet sets are super generous with the fitted sheet. If you read the reviews on our sheet sets, they're really meant to, they have a really deep pocket. They're meant to accommodate the wide range of mattress depths that are available now. I think the challenge for me is, and we've had a few complaints, and even like people around the office, it drives my husband nuts too, is king size duvet covers, getting your king size duvet cover to reach the bottom of the mattress. It's a challenge because mattresses are so tall now, and a king size typically is using the widest width fabric that you can weave. So that's why there's like a limit to how long a king duvet cover can drape, because the machines that weave the fabric are only so wide. So then you're either adding a seam to get extra length, which not everybody really wants a seam, or you're stuck with something that's a little shorter. So the mattress people really just need to get on board with.
That is a really, that was one of my questions was going to be, I hate that my coverlet is just not, is not long enough. And so
long enough
to Caroline was saying about Katie Ritter, I have to tuck it in to make my bed look finished because otherwise it's just like an inch like long where it like now hits my bed rail that's upholstered. And anyway, it looks weird. So it needs to be tucked in, but there's not enough to tuck. Or barely. And then I'm, and then on a king too, which is 76 by 80 or whatever, it's almost a square. So when you're making your bed, you're like, which way is which?
Which way? I know.
Do you have a tip for that?
I have a, I have a theory slash tip and I want to see if Amy confirms it. Okay. My, I think that the tag is always in the bottom right corner.
For every vendor or for Ballard?
Both. That's what you know.
I don't know about for Ballard, but for both, I feel like standard, typically, so that's how I do it. I'm like, okay, if I find the tag, it's in the bottom right corner. So that's how I know which orientation. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's
I've seen a few that have a tag that says, helps you orient orient your bedding. This is the bottom, that's what I mean. Yeah, I thought
about that. Amy, is that true or not?
It's true for Ballard, but I don't know
if it's true. So you replace,
I found it to be pretty standard.
Yeah,
I found it to be pretty standard. Now, granted, for the last 9 years, because I've been at Ballard 9 years too, I only buy Ballard beddings. Although I do sometimes get Garnet Hill. Sometimes Garnet Hill, I do like their bedding too.
It's okay, sister brand.
So yes, ours is always bottom. So I do feel like that is an easy way to
remember.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
But then you have to find the tag. Yeah. I'm with you, Taryn.
True. It's easier to find the tag the first time than to put your bedding on the wrong way and then have to redo it.
I have also watched our video on doing a box or not a box spring cover, but a fitted sheet. And I still can't make it. I don't know if I'm just not remembering it, but it still ends up being sloppy. It'll never be as neat as yours, Caroline.
She is deep.
I'm very particular about bed making, I will say.
So what are we supposed to do on the box spring, by the way? Because you brought that up. What are we supposed to be doing on box springs? Covering them? We're supposed to sheet them. What's supposed to happen? Yeah.
Oh, on the box spring? Okay. Yes, I do think, I think if your box spring is visible, which I think a lot of them are now that we're sort of like moving towards beds and away from headboards, I feel like people are tending to buy more beds now. Either get a box spring that's a low profile, that's not visible, which may help some of your challenges with making your bed if you have a really deep mattress. But if you have a box spring already and it's showing you don't want to buy a new one, which would probably be me, then just get a box spring cover on a really simple fabric. I think a basic.
No, box springs are so cheap.
Yeah, they are cheap.
It would probably be cheaper to buy a new box spring rather than buy some box spring cover to cover.
To buy a custom one, yes. But you can get a pretty cheap box spring cover.
What is the purpose of a box spring?
To provide extra support for your mattress so that it's not going to sag. They're starting to make mattresses now that don't need them if you've got a platform bed or something. But in general, it's to just provide additional support for your mattress.
You can, I do, I'm fully in support of the low profile box spring. It's so much easier. I also like my bed being lower to the ground.
Mine's in the sky.
Rather than so up high.
So Labor Day was just this past weekend. I was like, oh, I'm going to go look for a box spring and maybe I'll get, And then my husband was like, what are you doing? And I was like, what I want. And he's and like, no, so we're,
Oh, how divided.
Our most recent box spring, which we got almost just a year and a half ago, was the one with all, that's all metal. And then it, you put a sleeve around it. So you build it. It's all metal framing. And then you just.
Yeah, it comes like in a when box
David
on
ordered
Amazon.
It,
yeah,
that's, it was easy.
Was it easy?
And it's so easy to lift because we I had my rugs clean last week and I just put my rug back under my bed. And of course, we tried to put it under the bed the first time with the bed and the mattress all on and was like, this is actually impossible. Oh, we're going to get divorced. So we took the mattress off, took the bedding off, and I was, you take the box spring and it like flies because it's just literally the most light aluminum, but it can, but it holds the bed or the mattress. Great. I was just shocked. That was all. I was like, what is this? I remember when he bought it being like, no, this isn't a box spring.
No, honey, this is, it's really inventive the way they've done this. Yeah. Cheap shipping.
I am with you, Taryn. And I'm so glad people are buying more beds instead of headboards. I personally find that to be a key element of making my bed look better, and like the bed making process easier. I just think it looks so much better. I don't know if there's anything more annoying than a bed skirt that like it moves around. It's like up an inch on one side and too saggy on one side. Like it just, oh my gosh, like it gets dog hair on it. Then it gets wrinkled in one place. Washing it is a freaking nightmare.
You got to iron it.
I hate them.
Yeah.
You have to iron it. I hate them with a passion.
I mean, I love, visually, I love it if you have a bed skirt that really has an amazing pattern on it, or the pattern coordinates to the headboard, or it's actually a thought out design detail. But if that's not your look, then I'm with you. A bed's so much easier.
Yeah. But even if like, okay, if you do an upholstered bed, just get the upholstered bed rails. You know,
okay, my house has a lack of storage. I value
that's a good call.
My underbed.
That's
space.
A great. Okay. I also that's just fair. Have hand-me-down headboards that I'm like, we're making these happen.
Yeah.
I still have a headboard that I made 10 years ago with my dad.
Yeah.
One of those like
so a awesome.
DIY projects.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So we went over box springs. Is there anything? Yeah. Is there any tricks or tips on the skirts in place, keeping a skirt in place?
Oh, keeping the skirt in place. I'm sure there are. I mean, I would think you could Velcro it or to the box spring, have double-sided Velcro or something like that. But I feel like it's more
I've seen the screws.
Oh.
It's like a little screw that screws into. I think you have to have a wooden.
Screws.
Yeah. Kind of.
That makes sense.
Makes sense. Screwed in.
But you'd have to have a wooden box spring.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because it's like a little corkscrew with a flat top.
I had an Explorer growing up, and it was a very old Explorer, and the top part of my car, the inside roofing, it like billowed with the windows down because it was that old. And so I had, the corkscrew things that went up into the ceiling of my car. That's the last time I used them. That's
awesome.
A great tip.
Those things are great.
I don't find them to be that effective, but it's been a while. I tried it once and it didn't work out great for me, but maybe I was doing it wrong.
Maybe the bed skirt goes in the guest
room. Not used often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like where you're not making it
free. Exactly.
Yeah. It's often.
The moral of the story is put all the effort into the guest room for the really wow moment, and then make the king bedroom very easy to do.
Just keep walking past the guest room. Being like,
Well,
that leads perfectly to what are we doing for our kids' rooms and rooms that, again, are getting a little more beaten? What are we using material-wise and layering?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the European style where there's no sheet. There's a flat sheet. There's a duvet cover. I'm not having to wash as much with my kids, personally. So they're 3.5 and 5. They don't know how to make their beds, but I don't like it looking sloppy, so I want it to be made. So it's a little bit easier for them if they just have the duvet that they pull up and call it a day.
Okay, so then how often are you washing the duvet cover? Because that's my only question about the European methods. I hate restuffing the duvet covers. Then do I have to restuff the duvet more often?
Okay. I probably wash them like every, depending on what kind of, what's happening in the bed. I don't know.
Okay.
Every like couple of weeks, probably.
Yeah.
Every week, too. Okay. I feel like the flat sheet's what's really getting beat up. So that's getting washed a bunch, but. We also have at our house, we have a lofted bed setup. Their beds are on top of each other, and Daisy's is lofted. So her mattress is like sunken into, it's got like a cutout with wood all around it.
Wow.
It is
a
beast to make up.
No.
I've been there with that.
You're
I love it. It's like my dream bedroom. I always wanted something like that as a kid, but making that bed and getting it remade is.
It's tough.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are you putting in your kids' duvets? What is the actual insert?
Oh, I just have like a pretty lightweight. My kids sleep pot. I feel like a lot of kids probably sleep pot. So it's just like a lightweight polyester insert. Something
I didn't
cheap.
Know if there was a certain thing we should be putting inside our duvets, and what are our options of what we put inside the duvet? Anything?
I feel like you're putting your duvet insert in there. And so you can typically choose from like a down, which can be a blend of down. And that pricing on that can vary so wildly. It's crazy.
I have no clue how to buy them. Yeah, I have no clue how to even understand down when I look at those websites.
True.
I think that's a personal preference. To me, I would never buy like a down pillow to sleep on. There's not any structure. It drives me nuts. I feel like you're like folding it to get the proper fill. And I think the same thing with the duvet insert. It feels nice, but it moves a lot. So I feel like polyester fill was introduced for function purposes and it maintains its loft a little better. It doesn't move much. Quilts could be polyester or cotton. Yeah. So if it's like a really fluffy quilt, it's usually polyester because it's not, it doesn't move as much. You can like, if you have a polyfill, you can have a really open quilting pattern. But if it's a cotton fill, it's got to be really tight or else it starts to shift and move around. So with down, if the squares in an insert, in the down insert are too big, all the down will be like right. in the bottom right corner. And you feel like you have to give it like a fluff to spread that out. So I feel like that's where polyester is different, where okay. you're not having that battle. Yeah. So we have a rental property, like an Airbnb, and we do have a signature scent, and it's a lavender essential oil that you spray on the beds. And we have gotten comments on it from customers or from renters. But we have rolled it out at our own house.
Positive ones.
Yeah, it's pretty mild. It's not like it's not super overwhelming.
So people do that. Okay.
It's like a subtle scent, but.
The only thing I ever do is, and I don't have these all the time, but Trader Joe's sells these lavender, like laundry.
Sachets.
Pouches things. I don't know. Sachet. Yeah. So sometimes I pick those up. That's like the only time I ever.
And you just throw it in with your dryer. Or you actually put it in the dryer.
No, you just throw it in the dryer. You can use it like four times or something. So sometimes I'll do that if I'm feeling.
For the guests.
Yeah. I'll throw one of those in with the. When you're drying. Okay. No, for myself. I actually don't have a guest room right now because. We have kids. Three bedrooms and two kids and us.
So. Time to bunk them up. And it's probably more of a need to figure that out. I feel like fewer people are using dryer sheets now. Like we've figured out they're bad for the environment. They're not great for your skin. That used to be how my thing smelled good. But now everything's fragrance free. And so it's nice to have a nice scent without.
Yeah. I just feel like if I have clean sheets, they've recently washed, then I'm good. I don't need to add like a whole other. Yeah. My bed making situation is elaborate enough. I don't need to.
Okay. Another question.
Signature scent. But I do love the idea, especially at a vacation spot.
How often should we be washing? Speaking of care, like how often are you washing?
I feel like there's probably one answer for maintaining your sheets and one answer for being clean. You know?
No, I totally
I think maintaining your sheets, you're probably not supposed to wash them as much, but most people will be like, wash them once a week.
Yeah.
If
how
they
long
get dirty.
Should sheets last?
Oh, I think linen sheets can last up to 5 years. I think cotton sheets are going to go a lot quicker than that. And again, I think it depends on the use too. Guest bedroom versus master
How
versus kids room.
How many sheet sets should we have per bed?
I just have two. You wash one, you put the other on, just flip them. And I keep them under my bed, under the bed skirt.
That's true. The storage thing is nice.
It really is. Although I guess they make beds now that have drawers too. Mm-hmm. Like good looking upholstered beds that have functional drawers. But Yeah, we have very little space and we have kids that have big bulky toys and all of our closets are taken. So we use that space when we can.
Yeah. Do we need to talk about bed making? Because I do feel like I don't know. I'm very
I want to hear how you're
making it.
Yeah, I want to hear this from Caroline. What is your particular
What are your hangups? Yeah.
Okay. I want the flat sheet to be placed on the bed upside down so that when you then fold down the edge, the proper side is facing up. So that's something I'm really specific about. And also, especially in our house now, our bed is at the very end, centered of a long hallway that I pass hundreds of times a day.
Same.
So I want it to look good because I'm seeing it a lot.
Yep. Ours is the same.
I also like to fold the duvet down in thirds, but so that the edge that should be at the headboard is facing the headboard. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, like you zigzag it sort of like you pull it down all the way and then you bring it a third of the way back up. Yeah.
So that way in the middle of the night, if I'm cold, I can just grab the leading edge and I don't have to like.
You don't have to think about it. You go back
to
sleep.
It's in reach. Yeah. So if you fold it in thirds, then you don't have to do that.
The conundrum for us is our dog sleeps on our bed. And so she's usually weighing it down and I'm like, get off the duvet. I'm cold.
Yeah.
Move.
So recently I started making it to where like you fold it down. Like I used to divide it in thirds Exactly. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So it'd be like a third little.
Yeah, an S. Like, it was like an S.
Pile. Yeah, an S. There you go. Now I'll do it down.
Are you making it so?
So there's a bit, there's, it's really folded in half, but the top half isn't a third.
Right.
So that way, when our dog gets on the bed, she's not getting on like,
she's at the base. The
folded part. I gotcha. She's just at the bottom. So it's like you fold it back
just a little
and then
bit.
Back again.
Yeah.
I love yes. that you are. What other particulars do you have? This is gold. I love this.
I like it to all be tucked. So that's another reason.
Oh, you
why
like
I like
the duvet cover to be tucked?
Or No. The quilt and the thing, it needs got to all it. Be tucked uh-huh. and tucked. Like, I like it, a military or a hospital corner.
Yeah. Are your corners visible or do your duvet cover cover them?
No, it's all tucked into. Well, so I have an upholstered bed mm-hmm. and then the low profile box spring. Yeah. And so it all is tucked under and you can't see any of it. Mm-hmm. You really only see like the top.
Okay. I just meant, are your military corners visible or does your duvet cover?
Oh, no.
So that's just for like personal. I know.
It just so that it stays. I hate when it comes out.
Yeah.
Because then like you're. And then you have to make it again and you have to retuck it again. So if you do the military corner when you make it the first time, then it stays longer. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It doesn't come out. Okay. My other thing that I did recently was, and I mentioned this on one of our Trials and Triumphs, I was fixating on the sham insert. Okay. And Liz, this is what we were talking mm-hmm. about. It's if you have a pretty flange on your sham, how do you get that to stand up and look nice without having, I'm not going to iron. Like that's a no-go for me. And But I want it to sit up, right? So getting a sham insert that has a higher fill than regular or a bigger size or both so that the sham is more filled out. And so this all sort of came about because my mom had a relative who's a designer help her do the bed in the guest room where I sleep when I go home. And the sham, the Euro sham, is like, super, it looks amazing mm-hmm. when it's up there. So I was like, okay, what? But this is clearly like double the amount of feathers or whatever than what my normal standard has. So that's what sort of got me down going this rabbit hole. But I did find, okay, so just, I'm sure that anyone has like a regular fabric shop, but you can go into the fabric shop. I went into like Forsyth Fabrics here because you can test out the different shams and say, okay, this one has, you can feel the difference. Your Euro sham is what, 24 inches, 26 inches?
Usually, yeah.
26. Okay. So go up to a 28 inch, but there is a difference between 28 inch inserts. They don't all have the same amount of feathers in them, depending on how much they cost and what blah, blah, blah. The one that I found is like super full, but it's still 28 inch. And y'all, it looks amazing.
The 2 inches bigger is like a designer trade secret, not just with bedding, but with pillow inserts.
Any pillow, yeah.
So
yeah.
Like at Ballard, that's how we sell them. We sell all of our pillows if you're going to buy the insert with them 2 inches bigger.
So the insert is 2 inches bigger?
But we don't. But if you buy mm-hmm. it, but if you buy a Euro sham insert.
Yes, the 28 inches is harder to find. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to be intentional about finding the 28.
I do think a Euro insert and a pillow insert, they tend to have thicker, they're more densely filled than an accent pillow. I think the accent mm-hmm. pillow tends to have a lighter fill, which is where you really yep. have to go bigger on the insert to get that like okay. luxurious mm-hmm. look to it. But I do feel like in general, pillows have a little bit thicker of a fill to them for the-
Like
I
mean, a sham insert.
Yeah.
That's sold insert. As a sham insert.
Exactly, yeah.
I guess my thing on it was just like, don't, it seems as though you can just cheap out on the insert because you're not seeing it. But I do feel like the look and feel of the sham itself is not going to look right if you don't have the right insert.
So don't skip on that, yeah. even though you don't see it.
Yeah. I mean, I tried some Amazon inserts, you know, just like, okay, I'm just going to size up, but they just didn't look right. So I think the pillows, I don't know, something that I want the Euro sham to like stand up. I want the flange to be right. So the thing that we were talking about with our coworker, I found this video online and it talks about how if you're making your bed mm-hmm. and you're fluffing your pillow, most of the time people will turn the pillow upside down, fluff it and shake it. And then they're holding the corners and they're shaking it. And like all the pillows are going to the bottom mm-hmm. of the insert. And then they're standing it up with the more empty corners at the top.
Oh,
when you should do the reverse.
Yeah.
You shake it and then you flip it upside
down.
I even
sometimes
kind of
like tuck the corners other to like under to really keep it tight.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you stand up the pillows that you've just shook all of the pillows down into the bottom And then you turn the bottom upside down and the bottom is what sticks up. And that'll make your flange stick up more.
Yeah. Okay. So we need our pillows to be top heavy. But I do think to some extent,
if it's yes, top heavy.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Liz. There's a lot of hand motions no one can see.
I think it's true.
It's hard to describe. I don't know. I can link to the video in the show notes.
I think if you're hung up too on your flanges, like wanting them to be upright, then you should look for something that has a small flange that is easier to have them stand upright. Whereas if you've got like a 2 or a 3 inch flange, they're going to flop. Unless you're adding some kind of stiffener, like they're going to flop.
But if you have decorative edge like our scallop, like you want that to stand up. You want that to show and be pretty.
You do. And I think you got to get strategic with how you're placing your pillows. I'll use the headboard to help my pillows stand up if it's a flange that I want. Like I'll lean the pillows more or mm-hmm. use like a Euro pillow to help like the standard pillows stand up.
I stayed in a bed recently that had a not so great quality sham. Anyway, point being is I went to use the pillow that was the actual sham and it had a big flange and there was plastic in it. And
oh yeah,
there was literally like a piece of plastic within it. And I was like, I can't sleep with this. It mm-hmm. literally had a hard, but it makes sense. Somebody really want whoever that manufacturer or whatever, that flange was standing up, but I was like, absolutely not. I will not be using this pillow. Cause it was like a hard piece of plastic in your pillow. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I like your tricks better was the main point of me telling you that.
Yeah. I was going to just say that like our beds in our photos are all smoke and mirrors because what they do to make that flange stand up, they literally put duct tape behind the pillow flange to make it like to give it the flat
perfect
edge to it. Yeah, it's just
yeah. And our big fluffy duvets are actually two inserts.
Oh yeah, actually, so this is a good topic. I feel like that because we do the same tricks at the retail store and people are always like, how do you get your beds to look? If someone catches me at the retail store styling a bed, it's almost without fail every time I've been there, someone asks, how do you get them to be so fluffy? And it's almost always because we've double stuffed the duvet insert. So that's just another example of something that could work for the guest room. Or if you're really not sleeping with the duvet, then it looks great. Do it. Go for it. Double stuff it. But
I did it.
Yeah.
You double stuffed? Good.
Yes, I did double stuff. I bought two of the lightest duvets. Mm-hmm. So I have like two light ones because I think in the summer it is too much most of the time. But in the winter, I think it'll be great actually because it's going to be close, cold anyway. But I normally wouldn't sleep with a duvet. It just stays folded at the end of the bed at night.
Yeah.
Because it's summer.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let's talk about seasons because we're coming up on fall. How then do you change out your bed for the season? Do you just add more layers to it and that's good? Or
quite honestly, I don't change mine that much because the inside of my house basically stays between 68 and 72 or 75 or whatever your range is. I don't typically feel like I'm having to change my layers that much, but I like to change my pillows up and I'll change a throw to give it a different vibe. But yeah, people that live up north where you actually are having trouble maybe keeping your house a little bit on the warmer side, probably add in a blanket or a coverlet layer mm-hmm. or may even switch up the duvet insert. Duvet inserts now come typically lightweight, medium, and then a lot of times they call them winter weight to get mm-hmm. that extra warmth.
I love our velvet.
Yeah.
It's too much for the summer, but I do have a velvet quilt that I use in the winter and I love it.
Pretty. So you have a quilt really for the winter.
No, I just switched the quilt.
Got it.
Yeah. So I do like the same sheets and duvet.
Yeah.
It's just I switch the quilt out to be a heavier quilt.
Love it. What about you guys, Taryn, Liz?
I pretty much keep it the same.
Yeah.
I did have a velvet quilt that disappeared from my bed and my kid took it.
Kid likes velvet.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, that's just the thing. But it's a queen. No, it's a king. Because one of the things that saved my marriage at one point early on is we have a queen bed, but we got king quilts so that no one ever was short cheated.
That's smart.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. So you have to have the queen sheets.
Yeah,
but
the queen sheets.
Duvet
and coverlet are all king so that it goes a little bit longer on the sides. So if somebody rolls over in the middle of the night, everybody's still warm and wakes up happy.
Taryn, could you do that? Could you get a California King?
No, I think like California bedding? King's only longer. Isn't that, it doesn't help the wider. I need to do like you said, lower profile box. That would fix it because then I would just tuck into the actual bed rail. But right now I have to do the, like you said, the hospital sheeting corners because you can see them. But for me in the winter, my only change is, like you said, I do have a duvet. I change out. Just, it is one of those where one says it's summer weight and then one says winter weight. And that's the, and then most of the time I end up pulling up the duvet versus in the summer, it's on the end of the bed. David kicks it off his side.
I'm like,
exactly. In the South, we very much, where my sister, I think, is under flannel sheets and 12 blankets in Maine. But
well, actually, so this whole thing, we used to have a flannel vendor and he would always say, it's actually not seasonal. It's year round because you keep your house at the same temperature. And I was like, huh, that's true. I do keep my house at the same temperature. So I don't feel like I need seasonal bedding, but I wouldn't do flannel.
Oh my gosh. Just the thought. It's a thought.
It's just like a mind. Yeah. It's like a mental block.
It's like purple ketchup. You're like, I assume it tastes the same, but I can't mentally. I did for kids for a while. Anyway, I digress. No, I think changing out, though, I do think a lot of people will add, to your point, like just a fall palette or like a spring to a simple bedroom, especially again to like guest if you wanted to make it feel of season.
I love that.
I had a question about care because I had read something about like how to like care for your sheets to where there's less wrinkles. And it talks about not drying it fully. How do you feel about that in terms of
not over drying it? I 100% agree. You can take them out like where they almost feel like a little steamy, just like slightly damp, and spread them out immediately. You got to be in your house. Like you can't set it to dry and leave. You got to make it immediately. But yes, I agree. Totally.
I have found it to help if I can time it properly to get it out. You know what I mean? Do any of y'all use like a wrinkle releaser or anything that you spray on your sheets? Do you not care?
I have linen for the very purpose that I'm never going to iron my bedding. Like it's never going to happen for me. So I just embrace the wrinkle, have it be casual and call it a day.
Goes back to I think Amy has said many times, guest bed is linen bedding, but I will actually iron the flange because I'm not washing those pillows. And so that I will. My own linen bedding, again, it's just a crumpled flange and I don't care because at least as the coverlet's tight and the sheets are tight and the corners are tucked, it's that whole juxtaposition of fluffy wrinkled versus the simple part of my bed that is clean and tight. So I feel good.
See, I'm about to go take my linen shams and go steam.
You like yours?
Yeah. Cause I have the Euro shams. I like for those to be a little bit, I mean, they'll still get crumbly, but
I sleep with,
I want the flange to look good. And I do feel like a linen flange can really get crumpled, like really
super
wrinkled.
Crumpled.
You know what? Sometimes I get my straightening iron out and I just straighten it with my straightening iron.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a way easier.
That's actually great because I got rid of my ironing board. I only have a steamer now.
What a life. Gosh,
yeah. I hate ironing. Anything to avoid it.
I will say, back to the double inserts on your duvet and also my obsession with the fill on your sham is it does help with the wrinkles because it's fuller and so it like it literally fills the wrinkle out so that it doesn't look so wrinkly. Mm-hmm. So that does help a lot. If you go to Forsyth Fabric, look for the Celeste. It's like double filled or something. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm guessing it's an investment.
Yeah, it's more expensive because it has more pillows in it, but it makes a huge difference. Yeah. And it looks less wrinkly.
Yeah. For sure thought this would only be 30 minutes worth of conversation.
You're silly. And anyone still listening, they all are thinking the same thing. They have to be one type of us, I'm sure, where they're like, oh yeah, no way. Or they're like, absolutely, like Caroline.
Yeah. I do. Back to our original point, it's hard to, it's a very delicate balance to strike of what you want it to look like and what you want it to feel like, because you can't sacrifice what you want it to feel like just for it to look good. So you have to really play and test out a lot of stuff to figure out
how much time you want to put into making your bed in the morning too.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. This is our last question then. Show of hands, who makes the bed every morning?
Oh, I have to.
Yes.
Drives me nuts that my husband doesn't want to do that. But I'm like, got to get the day started off the right foot. It brings me joy to make my bed perfectly in the morning.
So we're all the same. Mine's more of the getting into an unmade bed at night makes me ragey. It doesn't feel as clean. I don't know why.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
I like to slip perfectly into a very made bed. I don't.
Yep.
And if you don't make it every day, then like your sheets really get untucked. And I just feel like it never feels right because the corners are pulled out. And like
I would just feel like a slob, I think, all day long. I don't know. Yeah, it really bothers me to walk into the room if it's unmade.
Does anyone else ever make the bed even at 6 p.m. if it's not made just to get into it? Like
I don't think it's ever gone later than 9.
Like if you really just were rushing out the door.
Yes, I would probably make it up.
I will literally pull the sheets up tight before then folding them down to get in. Yep.
It also looks like a bomb has gone off in our room. If Will is traveling or if I'm traveling, both of us like perfectly unfold, pull back the covers, get in. You wake up in the morning like nothing's happened. And the second both of us sleep side by side, we've battled it out all night for the sheet. But we don't.
Agree.
It's a total disaster.
So
it's not even remotely made looking. So
okay, I will also say if you make your bed every day, like if you let your dog into the bed, I also am really particular about that because sometimes Annie will sleep at the foot of the bed. But if we leave the bed unmade, she will just burrow in whatever.
And the thought of so protecting like my sheets is gross.
Like I don't want her to be on the sheets. She can be on the duvet. That's fine. Yeah. But so if you don't make it, then like they'll just get in there and
see
do whatever they please.
Having cats, they love.
They have no.
No,
rules.
They love when we make the bed. Like they hear the sheets, like the rustling of the fresh sheets, and they go bonkers and come sliding in across the bed as you're like fluffing down the top sheet.
It's like playtime.
It's a whole comedy routine. Yeah.
Actually, our dog does. She hops up when I start making the bed, and I'm like, no. I think she knows that she could get attention if she does that. If she hops up on the bed as I'm starting to make it.
See, I feel like the reverse. Annie, like I go to pull to start making the bed, and she just hops down.
She knows you, Caroline.
This lady and her.
Meanwhile, I've got animals running across the room, like from across the house, like sliding across my bed.
Part of me that feels okay if I can get up and I can make my bed and I can make it look good, then I've already accomplished one thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so if nothing else goes right for the day, at least my bed is
my still in good. The bed though, so that's the problem
often.
Yeah. Yep. There's someone in there.
I try to do the rule, if you don't get up at the same time as me, you have to make up the bed. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't
work. I'm listening.
Yeah.
Or it's, I was gonna do it later.
It's 8 p.m.
No.
So you were
Last one.
My Will has not made a bed or changed a sheet in a decade now, so he is hopeless. I will say, recently he had to change Blair's sheets because she peed the bed, and y'all, it's a twin bed, and he put the sheets on sideways, like the fitted sheet. He put. I was like, how did you even manage this?
I was gonna say on a king, I see how that happens, but. On a twin, I didn't know that was possible.
I know. I'm like, this is.
He was like, wow, there's so much to tuck on these sides.
He's had to the point. He hasn't made a bed in 10 years. And so
nothing frustrates Will more than trying to get the insert into a duvet cover.
It is awful.
Yeah.
Then I think maybe just my secret is longevity because we hit a point.
He just
after 20
now?
Years that like he now makes the bed.
We'll make it together some. Because I think Will can see that it's easier if we're both doing it, but that always doesn't work out. So
Yeah.
At this point, if he were to make it, I would just remake it anyway. So I might as well.
I think he's on to you.
He knows a
terrible job the first time. She'll do it forever.
Yeah. He does other stuff, so it's fine.
Yes.
I'll saddle this burden alone. Okay. Thank you, Amy, for spending this time with us and answering all of our questions. We'll talk to you again some other time.
Yeah.
Happy bath.
Yeah, this is fun.
All right. If anyone has questions about their bed that we haven't answered, send it to us and we can have Amy answer for you if you have anything we missed.
And that's our show. You can find all of the show notes on our blog, howtodecorate.com/podcast.
To send in a decorating dilemma, email your questions to podcast@ballarddesigns.net so we can help you with your space.
And of course, be sure to follow us on social media at Ballard Designs.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And please leave us a review. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Until next time,
happy decorating.